One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back. There we are, a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me here in our recording studio / our bedroom is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody, wherever you're at. We appreciate you guys doing so. It's, on this Wednesday, whatever day it is for you. It's a Tuesday. It's a gray Tuesday in here in
so
San
gloomy.
Diego. I wish I didn't love seeing people take a vacation to San Diego and it raining. I wish I didn't love that.
The spring breakers.
But I do. I don't. It's a sick part of me. It's a sick part of me that I love seeing people be disappointed.
And I always say they have the red lifeguard sweatshirts on.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were in Belmont Park or in Mission Bay. And they're like, everyone needs a sweatshirt.
Right.
Pick one out.
Yep. Yeah. That's the equivalent.
Store.
That's the San Diego, like I love New York, is the lifeguard
red
sweatshirt.
Lifeguard sweatshirt.
And it's a little misleading because it makes it look like you're a lifeguard and you could help me.
And you're not.
You are absolutely not. But I do. And I know that that's bad for them as an individual. I know it's bad for me as a person to celebrate in somebody else's disappointment. And I know it's bad for the city of San Diego that I live in because that does not encourage tourism here.
But, you know, it happens in Hawaii. It happens
it does.
Everywhere.
And I like it.
Yep.
I like seeing it. And I actually don't mind people coming here. I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, it's tourist season. No,
well,
we have more going on here.
There's indoor stuff, too.
You know. Not a lot.
The Balboa Museums.
Yes. As I've said
one
many
aquarium.
Times, a very famous story where our son had a soccer game get canceled because of threat of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not rain itself. Threat of rain.
Actually, yesterday I was taking my daughter to canoeing and it was pouring on the freeway.
Yeah.
And like the rain in San Diego is different than Seattle. Seattle's more of a drizzle.
Yeah.
San Diego, like, it doesn't absorb in the earth.
Yeah.
In the ground. So it's like bad.
Right.
And it gets really bad.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people just don't drive when it rains in San Diego.
Yeah.
Because you can barely see on the freeway.
And you haven't changed your wipers in 6 years.
Yeah.
They're the oldest wipers. They're like wire hangers, just screeching on your windshield.
Why am I working?
Exactly.
Why am I moving right now?
It sounds bad every time you do it. But anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. I hope you, hope you had a nice weekend, or I hope your midweek's off to a nice start. You know, I'm kind of still getting used to us being on Wednesdays, where we're hitting you on hump day right now. You know, it's midweek.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you're pushing through.
We're here for you.
We are here for you. That's the important thing. We have a few things to discuss today. We're gonna talk a little bit about the Oscars. There was a little bit of an event to the Oscars. I'll tell you right now, there will not be a hot take from this guy because there never is. We're gonna do a weekend recap.
We got a couple things. We might do some bingo dingos.
Some bingo dingos.
Hammonds.
A vegan deli we went
vegan
to.
Vegan deli. Japanese Friendship Garden. Mom's night out.
Planning summer vacation. We got a mom's night out. Probably a big chunk on how kids are just going to be disappointed with whatever you provide for them as you tell them about summer vacation or as you take them out for ice cream the night before you leave for 4 days.
Yeah.
And so we've got a lot to discuss. Before we do that, Melissa, could you tell people about Patreon?
Yes, I can. my mind went blank.
A Patreon? What is it?
Patreon is a website. No, it's a group. It's a group.
Uh-huh.
to be like a super fan for everything Dustin Nickerson comedy. Mm-hmm. So you give a little more and you get a little more. Mm-hmm. We're talking monthly Zoom hangs.
Yes.
Nickerson Christmas card. Yes. Meet and greets at shows.
Which we got a lot of shows coming up. I'm about to tell you guys about.
Annual cameo type video greeting. Top tier. We've got some thrift store items.
You get a monthly thrift store item that we send to you. This mm-hmm. week, what did we send? Was
we sent
some chip holders. The little
Côte
heart.
De Grow some lips
chip holders. Oh,
now these are just some really boutique-y things.
Very high end. Yeah, the kids
wanted to use them. You wanted to use them, and we were like, no.
This goes to our patron right here. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday we sent two signed posters.
Yep, for some new patrons.
And a signed advanced copy of a book that may or may not be coming out on June 7th called How to Be Married to Melissa, available for pre-sale on Amazon right now.
Yeah.
Number one new release. Not that I know anything about that. So yeah, check out our Patreon if you guys are interested in that. In addition, lots of upcoming headlining dates. Are you ready? Buckle up, everybody.
Yep,
there's a lot of
them,
and I'm going to read them all. May 4th, ASW Whiskey Exchange in Atlanta, Georgia. June 16th, The Old Church in Portland, Oregon. June 18th, Timbler Brewing Company in Bakersfield, California. June 22nd, Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. July 1st and 2nd, Mic Drop Comedy Club in San Diego, California. July 6th and 7th, Zany's Comedy Club in Chicago. July 7th, 8th, and 9th, Zany's Comedy Club in Rosemont, just right next to Chicago. We're just kind of 4 days in Chicago-ish there. July 14th through 16th, Stand Up Live in Huntsville. July 23rd, Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville. July 29th and 30th, Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. On to August, the 11th, Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. The 14th, Levity Live in Oxnard. That got moved from Father's Day to August.
Okay.
August 17th, The Improv in Irvine. August 27th, Hereafter in Seattle. August 28th, Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane. And September the 2nd and the 3rd, this went on sale this week, Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis, Indiana, the 10th and 11th, Wise Guys Comedy Club in Jordan's Landing, Utah, that went on sale yesterday. September 17th, Underground Music Venue in Minneapolis. September 22nd, the Comedy Club of Kansas City. September 23rd and 24th, Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis. September 25th, Louisville Comedy Club in Louisville. September 29th, The Riot Comedy Show in Houston. September 30th through October 1st, Cap City Comedy Club in Austin. And October 19th, Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That is almost it. We have Dallas to add, and then Detroit will go on sale-ish soon, and San Francisco will go on sale-ish soon, and then I think that's it. I think that's it. Just a little thing called a 30-city tour that we're doing, and all those tickets are on sale if you go to dustinnickerson.com/shows. Just a little something for you guys here, our backseaters. With that tour is going to be announced probably in the next 2 weeks, and we're calling it Seasonal Headliner because of a conversation I had with Taylor Tomlinson where we're talking about, hey, I need to market this tour.
Mm-hmm.
What do I call it? Last time we did a school night headliner, and I go, I think I've gotten a little too big to be that self-deprecating. There's a lot of weekends here. There's a lot of A-clubs. Mm-hmm. We're not moving a ton of tickets.
It's not all Thursdays and Sundays.
No, a girl came up to me at a show in Pittsburgh. Thank you, Pittsburgh backseaters that came. Mm-hmm. There. You guys were a very fun show with Aaron Weber opening there. So I got my Aaron Lynn podcast shirt here. And I start off those shows going, like, I know what this is. A lot of you guys know who I am, and you're happy, and you're excited. You're like, this is one of my favorite comedians. I'm so happy. And the rest of you, it was like your birthday month, and you got like a free ticket from the club, where it's like a Groupon thing. Yeah. And then there was a nice couple who came up after the show. I can't remember if they were married or engaged. And she said to me, she goes like, oh, it's date night. And she, her wife, her fiance, I don't remember what it was. And she goes, and she wanted to go to comedy. I was like, oh, that's cool. So you'd never heard, because I always am doing the ROI thing. Like, how did you guys hear about it? She said, yeah, we just wanted to go, my wife, or I can't remember if it was a wife or fiance. My wife wanted to go to comedy. So I looked you up, and she's like, I don't think it was going to be very funny, but it was. I laughed really loud. And she goes, but I looked you up and I was like, oh, he's a thing. And I was like, I'm a thing. I laughed so hard at that, because I go, that's what I say about myself. I go, I'm not a big thing, but I'm not a thing.
Yeah.
And so I told Taylor, what do we call this? She goes, well, we're always touring. I go, I'm not always touring, not headlining.
No.
I don't. Yeah. I go with you or with Nate, or I come back and I do projects, or I write books, or there's other these things. I go, I'm like a seasonal headliner. And then we both go, there it is.
It's perfect.
There it is. Mm-hmm. So the seasonal headliner tour is kicking off on May 4th in Atlanta, and it's going to hit about 30 cities up until October, of which point it'll come to a screeching halt. And if you do that thing where you're like, come to this city, I'm not going to. Those will be the cities.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Maybe
you never know.
Next year. Yeah. So what do you got? You got a couple reviews to
I've
read?
Got some great podcast reviews here. All right. Lover of Dogs 33. This is such a great podcast. I love this podcast for the comedy, the people, and the hilarious talking about other podcasts. Mm-hmm. Melissa and Dustin are thebomb.com. I can't wait to see what next week brings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready? Caitlin mm-hmm. Britt, ready? Mm-hmm. Missed that 15 minutes.
Ooh, sorry, Caitlin. I already know what episode you're talking about.
Yep. I love this podcast so much, and I listen to it every week while running errands. I really could have used that extra 15 minutes to get me through the rest of running around today. Hope it's just as long as it normally is next week.
I like that. I like that there's 8% passive aggressiveness there. I like that you listened every week, Caitlin, but mm-hmm. you waited till we were a little short on an episode before you told us, before you left a review.
But let us tell you, that is because Dustin spilled water on like three, what are they called? Laptops and an iPad.
Yeah.
And so we were... And the printer. There was mm-hmm. water under the printer. So we were cleaning all that up. So we had to cut it short because we were on a
And I didn't have a timeline. Voice, you remember?
And he didn't have a voice.
So
So sorry about that, Caitlin.
We'll try, Caitlin. Today's going to be a 20-minute episode, though. Sorry.
Fantastic comedy podcast. This is by MaxB3612. Love this podcast and the family dynamic. It's a great balance of transparency and comedy that helps us all get some giggles, some feels, and maybe even learn a little along the way.
What are you learning on this
podcast? Thanks for doing what you guys do every week. Thank you, MaxB.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet. Well, there you go. Have I told you I've developed a new road friendship?
No.
I have a new road connection. You and I were doing Wordle pretty regularly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And then, I mean, you and Joel were doing
it. Fell off the horse.
Then you stopped. And you did this like, I'm too busy doing. You said like, I'm too busy emailing your reels out on the mail letter. I was like, well, I'm making those reels. So it's not like I'm not.
Okay. Our son was on spring break for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I had to like kind of chaperone him around a bit.
Right.
Now, I know you can leave a teenager at home. And we absolutely did that.
Oh, my gosh. Teenage boy spring break. That is where the phrase, the idle hands is the devil's work. That is about teenage boys. That is about bored teenage boys. That was true mm-hmm. of my own life. You cannot.
It's 3 weekends. 3 weekends and 2 full weeks.
When you're a bored teenage boy, I remember me and my friends. I remember me and my friend Will. We had one spring break where we didn't know what to do.
Did you just watch Will Ferrell movies?
This is what we did. These are three things I remember us doing in one spring break. Throwing ice cubes at a car from his roof. We threw ice cubes at the car from his roof. And one hit it and the car stopped.
Oh, no.
And then like went and knocked on the door and
you laid on the roof.
No, we went and pretended to be asleep. And I was like, how did he see us? I still to this day don't know how he knew where it came from. Because if I was driving
of all the houses,
I was driving and something hit my car, I wouldn't be like, what just happened? Where? What? Who's you? Oh, that was some teenager up on our roof. I have no idea how he knew it was us. But nonetheless, he went and knocked on the door and we pretended. Then the dad answered the door and he was like, I'll go check on that. And we were like, what are you talking about? We're asleep. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know.
What?
Where would you even get an ice cube at this hour? I don't even know. That was one of them. We also would ride bikes off of the roof onto a trampoline. We were doing for a while. And we would take skateboards and luge down hills where you lay on a skateboard. That was one spring break. Mm-hmm. That was 6 days. Six unsupervised days.
Yeah. So what we were doing is kind of letting Joel watch movies at night. And then he would sleep until 11 or noon.
Right.
And then I would be like, hey, I have to drive your sisters around from like 2 to 4. Uh-huh. And then it'd be like 1:15. He's like, so I guess you can't take me to skate park. And I'm like, I can't. It was a lot of downtime. It was a lot of idle hands, I suppose.
It's absolutely unacceptable. Kids should have to go to school every day.
Now, if he was playing.
No breaks, no weekends, no summer breaks, no fall breaks. Kids should have to go to school all day, eight hours a day.
I think that's called boarding school.
8 hours a day. 2 hours of sports afterwards.
Followed by 4 hours of studies.
No, and no homework, actually. No, that's my ideal model.
Chores.
They don't have to do anything when they get home because they have house stuff they have to do. They don't have to bring the school home. Just learn everything during the day. No breaks. you can get a 3-hour break on Sunday for church.
Do you? Okay, so the highlight of the spring break for me, my son's spring break, was I do a silly little kickboxing class, cardio kickboxing, mm-hmm. Thursday mornings. And I got him to wake up and go to the gym with me.
Yes.
And then at 9:40, mm-hmm. when the class was almost over, he walks out with 2 green smoothies and sets my smoothie down.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know.
First time in your life you've been glad you had kids.
And I was like, oh, that's my son.
Yeah. my little man. Yeah, it was too long. It was too long of a break.
And as we've explained, our kids' spring breaks no longer line up. So mm-hmm. they're technically not in the same school district. But, yeah. So over a series of 5 weeks, we have kids off for 2-week periods. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The girls line up. They're the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But
and you can't, I mean, traditionally when you, it's nice when all your kids' breaks sync because you can go somewhere. You
or know, at least you do just some like structured do some day activities. Stuff or,
I wasn't necessarily talking about vacation. That's like, right. You can be like, okay, hey, we're all going to the zoo today. We're all going to the beach
the
today.
Beach.
We're all doing mm-hmm. something. We're all going to.
You take like 1 week off work.
Right.
Versus kind of just 5 loose weeks.
Yeah. In my experience, as a former teenage boy and a dad of a current teenage boy, they have 2 modes. They have lethargic and cantankerous. That's what they offer.
Yeah.
They offer, or why are you doing that? That's the 2.
Yeah.
That's what mm-hmm. That's what a teenage boy brings to the table. And it's not their fault. Their brain is on fire. Everything. Nothing makes sense to them. They're experiencing a total different reality mm-hmm. than the rest of humans. Even teenage girls, they're experiencing it's indescribable. Everything about them feels weird and awkward and uncomfortable. And because of that, you feel weird and awkward and uncomfortable with them.
This is why I want to watch the Goofy movie.
Right. Because what teenage boys love are things that mm-hmm. are old and irrelevant. They love things that their parents love. They love sentiment.
Mm-hmm. Nostalgia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they love silly things that might feel like they're for little kids.
Goofy. Yeah.
As I've told you and made the joke about, if something is advertised as fun for the whole family, it means fun for everyone except the teenager. Because I'm not actually convinced that a teenager...
Well, it's just the autonomy.
Well,
you know,
I don't think that teenagers, and I'm thinking about my own life, you don't have a super high capacity for fun.
Because you're so worried about how you look.
All the time.
What everyone thinks of you and who your friends are.
Yeah. And so mm-hmm. it feels like it's your job as a parent to provide these activities that they aren't going to show that they're actively enjoying because... they're so self-conscious.
I will take that back. I did get Joel to do a CPR class.
I mean, that was,
he sent me snarky texts the whole time, and it was hilarious.
Well, and the funniest...
That was so funny.
But that wasn't fun for him.
I know.
And the funny...
I believe we bribed him.
Yeah, well, and the funniest part about that is he said he made a friend.
Yeah. Well, he had to have a partner for CPR.
What was her name? He was like, he befriended like an old woman.
Laverne or something.
He was like, yeah, she's her 60.
She was like, I see people die all the time in my retirement home. That she works at. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Stay up to date on that CPR.
Spring break is over. And Joel, mm-hmm. our kids are all good kids, and we love them very much. It's really not even about them. It's just about what being a teenager is like.
We all go through it. Went through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice now that I'm not self-conscious, and I don't find myself worrying what other people think about me, and I'm not concerned about my image or the way I look, or I feel it's so nice to always feel so good about my body and who I am. And not worry about others' perception of me, you know?
It's so good for you.
It's really nice to never have that ever be a concern. You know?
It's just a teenage problem.
Just to have that peace of mind. It is exclusively a teenage problem. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You want to talk about the Oscars?
I do kind of feel like everything's been said, you know, by now. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's do it.
Well, apparently there was a lot of stuff that people just straight up missed, like because of the slap.
One story.
Yeah, because you said there was a performance, a Bruno thing. It was like the first, because I saw the commercial where like, this will be the first live performance if we don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah, I guess ratings have been down, and so they were really trying to push this one.
Really? Because it seems like such an exciting event. Who doesn't want to see this was a Martin Short joke at the Oscars where he's roasting Steve Martin. He said, tonight is one of those special nights. This is one of my favorite moments in Oscar. Yeah, Steve Martin was getting the Governor's Award, which is like a different event, but it is an Oscar.
Okay.
And he said, tonight is one of those special nights where the one percenters get together and celebrate one of their own. And that is the Oscars.
That's so good.
To a T. So you're like, why are we? I don't care about this. These aren't the best movies. These are what you guys picked. Listen, I'm enough in the entertainment world that I know, like, this is all a crock. None of this means anything.
I guess they had, okay, I didn't watch them. I guess they had one award that, like, it was like, you know, American Idol style, like texting.
The people chose it?
That just means
that people officially, like, spammed it, you know?
And then they had the three female comics hosts. But the slap stole the show, I guess.
All the Marvel movies made the most money that movies have ever made.
Yes.
They have never been nominated for anything. The public goes, hey, this is what we like. We like this. We like this. And then five movies, three of which most people have never heard of, get nominated, and one wins, and you go, oh, am I supposed to see that now?
Oh, that was my joke to you yesterday.
I guess that seems like important. I'm supposed to. Okay, so
how many people are downloading King Richard on Monday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. You're like, man. Apparently, that wasn't that big of a stretch for him to get into character for that. After all, you just go. Okay, so this one. Okay, so this one is about a woman that falls in love with a fish man. Oh, no, this is a serious drama movie. That actually was pretty good, that movie. I forget what it's called. I'm going to call it Fishman.
I didn't see it, so yeah.
It's a Hollywood-ish movie. It's the movies that people go like, this is going to be really... But that happens in the comedy space, too. You go, who got nominated for what? Who's on what list? And in reality, you go, sometimes there are exceptions. Sometimes great movies also win the thing, and we all agree. We're like, no, that was it. That should have won that.
So we were talking about Encanto. So Encanto had a live performance, and then they brought in a ton of other singers and stuff, artists. And so as we don't talk about Bruno, but then they added like a verse or two about the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I tried to show it to Claire, who is like the biggest Encanto enthusiast. And she was like, Mom, you can turn that off. She was eating breakfast. I was like, look at this. Yeah, they did it live. She was like, no.
No, not feeling it.
Back to the cartoon movie. Yeah.
I watched the slap. Apparently, I don't even know if this is true. Apparently, Samuel L. Jackson won an Oscar last night, his first one. This is so funny. This is who I am as a person. I don't know if this is true. I'm not going to validate it. I'm not going to look it up. It would be so easy for me to look it up.
Okay.
But a tweet said like, hey, things were so crazy last night. Samuel L. Jackson won his first Oscar and nobody's even talking about it. And I was like, oh, that's great. And that's an amazing story if that's actually true. I knew he'd never won an Oscar. But I also didn't take the 30 seconds to verify it. And here I am talking about a podcast. Because you know what? It's hard to verify. This is the point. Who knows what to know anymore?
Okay.
And I'm not helping that. Do you see how I brought up a thing and I gave you no resolve? My phone is right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I could. I'm not gonna.
I did this. I scrolled. Okay, that was the Oscars. And then you sent me that tweet showing the slap. And I didn't even watch it with sound.
Sunday night.
Because my son was still up at 10:45 on Sunday night.
Sunday night I was in Green Bay. Let me give you a quick weekend recap and then tell you how I ended up watching the Oscars. Ready? Thursday night, or Thursday day, I get up, I fly to Pittsburgh. I could connect through Atlanta. It's not an easy connection. I do a full sprint from Terminal F to Terminal B.
I have to connect in Atlanta, right?
When? In
Tennessee.
For what?
Nashville.
Do you think Atlanta's in Tennessee, sweetheart?
No, but we're not starting in Nashville. Sorry, I'm ruining your story.
No, I want you to continue this thought.
I'm doing a road weekend.
You're not flying into Nashville. But you are connecting in Atlanta to go to
That's
Birmingham.
That's my question. Yes, because you've told me how difficult of an airport that is.
It's just
is.
Big.
And that's, I've never done it by myself.
You'll find your way.
So that's why.
Yeah. You'll take a train. You'll find your way. I think you have a bit of a layover. You're taking a red eye to meet us in Birmingham.
Okay. So no one's going to be in the airport.
No, they will. But you will. It's actually the red eye through the red eye is a really bizarre experience because you land making a connection and everybody in that airport has just gotten to the airport. They came from their homes.
Oh,
you came from a different city entirely. Okay. You know,
so they're waking up and
they're waking up and you're like, I'm in a different existence. Yeah. I'm somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, I'm living in chaos right now.
Okay.
The chaos that is a red eye. So I connect through Atlanta. I go to Pittsburgh. Fun show. Aaron Weber was opening. We dinked around. We walked around a little mall area. Went and did the Pittsburgh Improv show. It was very fun. And then I get up the next morning and I fly to Louisville, where I meet up with Taylor. We do a show in Louisville. The next day, we drive to Cincinnati, which is not bad. It's about an hour and a half. And then after that, the next morning, we get up super early and fly to Green Bay. It is not easy to get to Green Bay.
For the Sunday show.
That's for the Sunday show in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And it's all fine. They're all lovely people. It's snowed a little. It was cold. And, you know, it's nice to come home to rain. Always. And it was like cold in New York. Taylor and I were texting. Like, can we get an Uber? Reprieve. Can nothing be easy for us out here? But it was not. It was
cold New York.
Yeah, it was a lot of like naps and one of those type weekends.
And you guys just did one show every night.
One show every night.
Yeah, but a lot of cities.
Four cities, four nights.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, Cincy, Louisville, Green Bay. I mean,
and you have a lot of bags right now.
Yeah, I'm tearing around a lot of stuff. And I said that, I said those four to my dad, and my dad goes, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, I guess when I say it like that." That's one of the nice things about clubs is you're in the same space for a while. So after all that, end up in a hotel in Green Bay. I've taken a couple.
9 p.m. No.
Yeah, no, it's
later.
About, yeah. I don't know. I have decided to take some Spotted Cows from the venue, which is a popular Wisconsin beer. It's like the Wisconsin beer.
Okay.
And it's like the Stone, except there's not as many different, you know. And I get, my phone starts to blow up from comedians, like Aaron and Taylor. Everyone's like, all the comedians are suddenly talking. Like, did you see what happened? Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. So what then proceeds is the greatest night in Twitter history. Taylor even texted me. She's like, this is the first time I've been sad that I got off Twitter. And because she did recently get off Twitter. And it was, I mean, the jokes, the memes. I mean, it was just so funny. And like you said, every joke under the sun has been made. What I saw in that, you know, because.
What was your visceral gut reaction?
Chris Rock took the slap. Made the joke, took the slap, stood there, didn't move, showed restraint. Because he showed restraint in a couple ways. I'm not taking sides in this. I'm just saying what I saw as a comic. Because you know what I've told you before? Like when certain things, like say you work with somebody who gets in trouble. A friend that gets canceled, a coworker that gets fired, someone that you know that's attached to controversy, something like a family member that goes to jail, something, and it's in the news. Everything, people look at that away from it and they don't know how to fully relate it. I've never hosted the Oscars. I have done what Chris Rock is doing. I have done stand-up comedy. I've hosted events. I've told jokes that people hated and they didn't like and they got offended by. Right in the I've had people have visceral reactions to jokes that I've made. Chris Rock, arguably the greatest comedian of all time, told the joke and then saw she was mad. And that's when he's like, I'm being nice. He did that real quick. He kind of like tried to downplay it, took the hit from him. And then when he not only did he show restraint that he didn't like fight back or hit anything, he goes, he stops right there.
Wow.
And there's a moment where he goes like, this is not an open micer. This is Chris Rock.
He could destroy you.
He could verbally humiliate you.
Yeah.
Already a couple that has a lot of things that are said about them and he's got a lot of ammunition and he doesn't. You can say he took the low road with the joke, and that's fair.
Lots of people have
he
said.
Took the high road when he didn't say anything else. And then he said, this is the greatest night in the history of television. That's a very funny line that did not get a huge laugh because they couldn't believe what just happened.
They were kind of all shocked.
That's a very funny line. This is the greatest night in the history of television.
It's so good. And it just like the show went on.
He went on to the next segment, Melissa.
It's insane.
There was a story that
said showmanship.
There was a story that was told on this podcast by Tamer Katan, former front seater Tamer Katan. And he told a story of when he was a kid, he would get bullied. He would get beat up every day. You probably know the story. And he started making fun of the bully one day, like making fun of like your mom jokes, the way you dress, whatever it may be. And it would laugh. They get huge laugh. And then the kid would beat him up again. And the bully pulled him aside one day and said, "I will stop beating you up if you stop making fun of me." And he goes, "No, I'll take the beating." And that's a stand-up comedian. That's what stand-up comedians do. They take the beating. Chris Rock took the hit. It didn't even cross his mind for a second that he would get off the stage. This isn't even about the joke. I'm not justifying the joke or not.
Yeah.
I don't know what he knew. I don't know. I know, but people make jokes. Sometimes they cross a line. Everybody's line is different. I don't know that he knew what she was going through. She could have just shaved her head. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know she had the alopecia thing. I didn't know. People are like, she's been very open about that. Like, we don't have like a medical guide of everyone in front of us, you know? And I don't think that Will Smith's visceral emotional response was necessarily wrong either. I'm not taking that. My response was like, that is a comedian. Told the joke, took the hit, told another joke. He just stood there. He's laughed. He laughed. Like, what are you going to do to me? I mean, it's a lot of people are pointing out too, like Will Smith is bigger than Chris Rock.
Yes.
Like that, there is an element of like, people are saying like, if that was The Rock, like that wouldn't
which
have,
it very well could
it very well
been.
Could have been I just I don't
and then the shouting
shouting
was
I mean I think that we all
was a lot, but,
I think we all saw the situation very Colin Coward calls himself America's honesty broker. I try and be America's reasonable take broker. And I think regardless of where you stand on this matter, you look at Will Smith and go, you're in a delicate emotional place right now. Because
his apology, that's what he said. He reacted emotions.
Because you watched him go laugh at the joke to Jada's mad, which, you know what? That's actually very relatable in marriage. Sure. That's like when that reminded me so much. This is okay. When Chris Rock told the joke and Will Smith laughed and then Jada got mad and then he had to respond, that reminds me of when like the kids tell an inappropriate joke and then I laugh and then you get mad and then you're like, you got to go discipline them.
Yeah, I get that. You're chuckling, but you're trying not to laugh.
Or that happens. People think that something's funny and you're like, that's not funny. And then you're like, all right, I gotta, or we don't say go discipline him. You know, that's not a real thing we do. But you know what I mean? Where there have been times where like the kids have said something that I thought's funny.
You're like, that's not funny.
You're like, that's not funny. I mean, that is objectively very funny.
It's also not.
Yeah. So, and then the speech was, it's like when you saw.
So I guess I read that Denzel Washington spoke with Will Smith on a commercial break.
Yeah, no.
He said like, In your highest days, devil's on
it's
your
when
back.
When the devil comes to get you.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
This was like such a big day for Will Smith.
Will Smith won an Oscar and nobody's talking about it. Will Smith, one of the most beloved people in American media, entertainment, television history, one of the biggest stars in the history of Hollywood, won an Oscar and nobody is talking about it.
You're right.
It's crazy. It's a crazy story when you think about it. You know, it's unlike anything that any of like that was what was so bizarre about it is people were saying like, did that actually just happen? And that's why people are saying like, was this staged? And
Chris, some people were like, they're actors. That's a stage act.
Yeah, and people were talking about Chris Rock laughing it off, and they're like, and I was like, no, I'll tell you, I probably would have done the same thing. Like if Will Smith would have come, it's not even
because he has Rock such a swagger Smith, and well, to him.
I think there's a shock to it. I think that and it was also like a weird slap. It was not like when everyone's like, he went up and defended his honor. Like with that slap, that was not an impressive slap. That looked like someone who learned how to slap in Hollywood. Like this was not like, you know.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I didn't need to. You put yourself in both situations. I texted you And I said, this is, I think, a good example of like, we all interpret this situation different, because a lot of people are saying like, that's exactly what I would want my husband to do. And you said like, I think you said like, if I couldn't have taken it, I would have left.
I am a definitely like, I'm like, I'm getting out of here. That's kind of
yeah.
in that scenario.
You would have not wanted me to do that.
No. No. Mm-mm. But I also, if I'm sitting in the front row at a comedy show and I'm like, yeah. I'm a comics wife, so I can laugh
right.
about myself
that's,
like that, to no end.
That like, is the that is the difference. Like a comedian's
for Chris Rock to make a joke about you. What yeah. an honor.
You're such a comics wife.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
What a well, you know, and wow. honestly, that kind of was people were talking about like Don Rickles. Don Rickles is the great roast comedian of all time. People would say it was an absolute honor to be roasted by, because it did come from a place of love. It wasn't like,
yeah,
it wasn't. I'm not saying Chris Rock's joke. I'm saying these old, like to take the time to think about someone, to write a joke about them, to tease them. It actually was, I know that feels like opposite. I know that feels kind of antithetical, but it does, in some instances, it does come from that place.
I mean, there can be hate in acts, that's for sure.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess you have to decipher the difference. And yeah.
It's hard to tell.
I'm not them. So if I was so offended, I would have left.
Right.
And they boycotted Oscars before. So they could have, you know, made a statement otherwise. But it was Will Smith's night.
It was Will Smith's night. It was a bizarre thing. It was just a ton of feelings and emotions going on.
Some will go to say that like, well, this will beget more violence because a very public figure slapped someone across the face.
Right.
Everybody watched it. And now people are like, well, I can hit people.
I disagree. I disagree by that.
Like
because
a normalization
I don't
of
think
violence.
That a normal human thinks like that. I think that celebrities think like that. I think that celebrities are the people who think that they can do stuff like that. And that the majority...
There's no consequences.
The majority of normal humans go, what? I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. There's going to be... If I go and hit that person, I'm going to go to jail.
No, I meant more like domestically. Like behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about any of that. I really don't. I don't know. You know, it's...
Like, there's like a condoning...
Somebody had this tweet where he said...
Or like bar fights. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you said, what about my wife?
Somebody said that tweet like, oh, this is going to condone more violence. And then somebody said like, when I was 9 years old, I saw Saddam Hussein get executed on live television.
I feel bad laughing about that. Yeah. I know that
I don't know. I've seen a lot of violence. I don't
growing up, like the news was just like on in homes.
Yeah.
In a way that we don't have the news on in our home.
Yeah. It was a wild story. If those two will interact in some way still. I don't think that story's done. Who you haven't heard from is Chris Rock.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he said anything.
Wow.
And not that I've seen, at least. Yeah, but in some ways, he doesn't have to say anything.
No.
It's like, you guys, I got hired to host an award show. This is what we do. Like, the comedian always kind of comes out there and roast a little bit. That's their whole thing. This will be a thing that people make jokes about for a long time. Anyways, 5 bingo dingoes for the Oscars. What a show. What a show.
Fantastic.
All right. Home stretch. What do we got left? Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Patreon Zoom hang is April 10th.
Patreon Zoom zang. Zoom zang. Zoom zang zang. Patreon Zoom zang zang. I was telling kids about our elaborate summer vacation.
We have to book the flights. Flights are so expensive.
Flights are insane right now. This is more of a story about the challengehood of... The challenge of parenting. And this is a perpetual struggle with you and me where I go, man, it's really hard that the kids are so ungrateful. And you're like, get over it. I don't want to talk about that. And you're like, I know, but you're literally the only person I can talk to about this.
Yeah.
And if I don't talk to you.
Except this podcast.
If I don't talk to you about it, I will internalize it. And then it will just come out in some exceedingly negative way, probably towards them.
Screaming at them.
So as I told the story of we're going on like a 4 or 5 state, multiple city, kind of cross country, great series of hotels, amazing different kind of events, summer vacation. I'm really fun, really great. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Cool experiences, fun experiences, new experiences. Really, really great. Really excited. And I mentioned 1 6-hour drive. That's the only drive we have to do. 1 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
Claire fell on the ground crying. Mm-hmm. Just at the prospect of a 6-hour drive. Reality is it's a 7-hour drive, but I downplayed it to 6. Fell on the ground crying.
She hates getting in the car.
I know. And I'm just like, oh man, you're already upset about the drive and the drive hasn't happened yet.
The anticipation of a drive in July.
Brutal.
Yeah. Well, she's dramatic like the rest of us.
Second story. We kind of have a loose tradition of when we are, if I'm going to be gone for a little bit, we try and like go out maybe the night before.
Yeah, sometimes. I would say a monthly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like a really busy month like it is right now. It's been a really busy month. And so we decide to go Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We're going to go get some cookies, the nearby cookie place.
Yep. It's close. A lot of options. Really good.
Maybe the thing that drives me craziest in the world is a place closing early. Because I have been the person on that.
We've all closed a place.
And we know the motive to close 5 minutes early. We've all been that person. It's just, hey, no one's probably going to come in, right?
I think it's just what's most infuriating about it is as entrepreneurs, because we're trying to support a local business.
We are trying, exactly.
And you're like, we're a family of 5. We're going to spend money,
And I'm not trying to do the thing about like, young people don't work hard today. I'm not saying that. You're already there. This saves you 4 minutes. This doesn't even really save you. Well, if you are going to close early, if you're going to do it, if you're going to lock your door, if you're going to start to clean up.
Turn the lights off.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I've been tempted to do it so many times. I probably even did it a couple times back in my day. If somebody comes to the door, the audacity to not go open that door. That's what I don't like. If you're going, I have 3 kids. You have cookies.
It's 7:55.
It is 7:55. You close at 8. Give my kids the cookies.
And you know why we were 10 minutes late? Is because the signage was turned off.
Because we couldn't find the location because they turned the sign off.
So we missed the turn. We had to go around the building a couple times, find a parking spot, walk out, the 5 of us, put our 8-year-old shoes on.
Them closing, it's their fault. I yelled at my kids. It's their fault. 100% their fault.
And then we had to go to like 5 other places to find one open and find parking.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we did go find another place and Melissa ordered 4 ice cream cones for herself. And
so I've seen people go to Hammond's. We've never gone.
Is it national? Is that around?
Yeah, it's national. Yeah. But it's like fancy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the hipster neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You drop me off because you can find parking easily. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get 4 plates of cones, like these little samplers. Not 4 plates.
Right.
2 plates, 4 cones each. So 8 mini cones.
Uh-huh.
And then you all come walking in as I'm picking out the 4 cones.
Just 4 ice cream cones to yourself.
So then you all order your own cones, and then I had 4 mini cones.
Good though.
And you teased me.
Yeah.
White Tiger? Yeah.
Hey, I don't remember what it was exactly, but it was tasty.
Got that? Yeah, it was really good ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Hammond's a national chain?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So give it a bingo dingo. Out of the 4 ice creams you got.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Yeah. It's like salt and straw.
Yeah. It's unfair for me to judge because I can't have dairy. So I only got their non-dairy option and it was fine. It was fine. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, folks. Want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That is the $25 a month and up patrons. Those are Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code to Grow, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farah Journey, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Taryn Isaac, I always mess that up, my bad, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ebling, and Juliana Smith. Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.